So last week we looked at the epistle of Christ, and so we're going to go ahead and finish that this evening. Let me invite you over to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3 reads this way. It says, "For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we come before your throne of mercy, thanking you for the privilege of gathering together as your people, and knowing where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence. We ask for the blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds and to open up our hearts and minds to hear from you. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, the title is the same, the Epistle of Christ. And that's really the work of God in the heart and in the life of the believer. And just by way of just reviewing, the points are God's deliverance, and that was found in chapter 1, verses 8 through 10 of 2 Corinthians, and then established and sealed by the Holy Spirit. Those were the two thoughts that we looked at last Wednesday evening, and that's found again in chapter 1, verses 20 through 22. And tonight we're going to look at triumph in Christ in chapter 2, 14 and 17, and then our sufficiency is of God in chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. But I just want to review a little bit. Go with me to chapter 1, verse 8, and notice what it says. He says, "But we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Above strength. They didn't have any more strength. That is not an unusual situation or circumstance in the life of the believer. And the reason why I think the Lord saw fit to allow Paul to bring that out is because sometimes I'm afraid we think that if we're experiencing something like that, that's not what Christians are supposed to experience. I'm supposed to make believe that's not happening in my life. That, you'll never find that coming from the heart and mind of God. God knows when we go through difficulties and when we go through hardships. And God's there for us. You know, here's an amazing thought, really. So we can look at the life of Paul and say, okay, he experienced some difficulties to where he was pressed out of measure above strength, in so much that he and the ones with him despaired even of life because he was faithfully serving the Lord. And sometimes we feel like, well, maybe I wasn't faithfully serving the Lord, but I'm still pressed out of measure and beyond my strength, and I'm in despair. And I want you to know that God's there for us, even when we cause our own problems. God does not leave us or forsake us. Or maybe when it's not because we're serving the Lord that we're experiencing these things, God cares for us, and he holds us in his hands all the time, does he not? So it doesn't matter why those things take place, but when they do, know this, that the Lord is the one that holds us in his hands, and he does not want us to be overwhelmed. He wants to meet us when we have these difficulties in our lives. So Paul was really just giving a profession, letting them know that, listen, I want you to know. In fact, verse 9, he says, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead." So if you wanted some good information here, when you get to that place, whether it's because of your faithfulness to the Lord, or whether it's because of some mishap, or maybe something that you did out of ignorance, or maybe something that you entered into, maybe even on purpose, God does not forsake us, and that's the opportunity to know that, oh, wait a minute, listen, I should not rely on my strength. Maybe I've operated my thinking and brought myself to this problem. Let that be a reminder to me to go to my refuge, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. So notice verse 9 again, "But we had this sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust ourselves, but in who?" God. When we trust in ourselves, exactly right, in God. When we trust in ourselves, whether we're in the midst of ministry or whether we're in the midst of making a big mistake, be it known unto us, may that remind us to say, oh, wait a minute, I've got to stop, and my strength is in the Lord, and my peace and my help is in the Lord. And so a lot of times, do you think preachers ever make mistakes? No, they don't. No, of course they do. Of course they do. Listen, I'm going to give you a confession. I know you're going to find this hard to believe. My wife won't, but you might find this hard to believe. Ready? I have gotten in front of the Lord. That's not my place. Amen? I had a really brilliant idea. So brilliant, God didn't even think about it. Amen? In fact, I was sorry I thought about it. But here's the deal. We can get out in front of the Lord, but as soon as that happens, or as soon as we need to say, okay, I'm not supposed to be dependent upon my own strength. Whose strength are we to be dependent upon? The Lord. And so whenever we're pressed out of measure, whether it's in our faithfulness to the Lord or maybe some mistake that we have made, may that be the reminder to go back to God, to go back to the Lord. And tell me, what is the position of our Heavenly Father? Where are His arms at when we come back to Him? Are they open? Does he ever stiff arm us? Does He ever shun us? Isn't that amazing? What a great God we have. And so that's just a reminder of God's deliverance. And then, of course, we're established and sealed by the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 20 real quick. For all the promises of God in Him are yea. And that's towards us. All of the promises of God. Now listen, I'm not making this up. I'm reading it from the Word of God. This is not just for the Apostle Paul. This is not just for pastors of churches. This is not just for ministers of the Lord. This is for God's people. So notice this, for all the promises of God in Him, and that's the key now, it's in Christ, it's in God, in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God. Listen, unto the glory of God. Remember the vine and the branches, right? The vine and the branches. Unto the glory of God by who? By us. So God has seen fit, listen, He has chosen to bear fruit. Now, God doesn't need us to bear fruit. But that's the way of God, to bear fruit through your life and mine. And have you stopped to think about that? Fathom this. Listen, God wants His glory to come from your life and mine. Isn't that something? That ought to awe us. Lord, how can you get glory? Now, if you're not careful, you might look at somebody and say, well, I don't know how God's going to ever get glory out of that person. Well, just look in the mirror. You know, how's God going to get glory out of us? But I want to say that's His choice. Not mine. That's God's choice. God has chosen to be glorified through the redeemed. By His grace now, by His power, not ours. So as soon as we are pressed out of measure, that's a good thing. As soon as we've kind of exceeded where we should be, remember that our strength is in the Lord. Sometimes it's an emotional excess where we're overwhelmed. Okay. In myself, I can be overwhelmed. In myself, I can be distraught. In myself, I can feel defeated. In myself, my emotions, the world calls it, oh, are you down today? Sometimes it's worse than just being down. It can be that. We're not supposed to talk about those things, because if we talk about those things long enough, they're going to put you on a couch somewhere talking to somebody else. But the best person to talk to is the Lord. And when we're exceeded beyond out of our measure, then it's a reminder for us to realize that we've drifted away from the Lord. And that can happen in ministry, as it happened to Paul, and that can happen maybe if you're not in ministry and maybe just drifted off, okay? The Lord wants us to come back to Him and know where our strength is at. Notice this, verse 22, who hath sealed us, also sealed us, and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. That's where the Holy Spirit is at, in our hearts. Now, we have our spirit and we have the Spirit of God, and sometimes if we're not careful, our person, our soul, it's through our spirit. When we were born again, God, Ephesians chapter 2, quickened us, our spirit. He made our spirit alive to be able to communicate and indwelt us with the Holy Spirit. So now it's supposed to be the Holy Spirit leading and our spirit following the Holy Spirit. And then our soul is in third place. It's who we are. The person that's looking out of these windows, we call eyes. But the old man has been so accustomed to leading for all these many years. And if we're not careful, we can even think we're doing a good thing for God, and we can be overbearing. Some people have this mentality. And you know what? You'll just have to weigh it out. Here's the question. Is it the Spirit of God? Some people say, well, you know what? You ought to witness to everybody, every opportunity you get a chance to. Well, you know, sometimes it's good if you're going to be around somebody in the workplace to cultivate a relationship before you start telling about who the Lord Jesus Christ is, because the world already has an idea of what Christians are all about. And here's what the world thinks. The world thinks, we're a bunch of do-gooders, well, and we should be by the grace of God, but we're self-righteous, and we're just busy about telling other people how they ought to live their life. And so they have a misunderstanding, or maybe another idea about what Christianity is all about. But you know what? We ought to be likable people by the Spirit of God. We ought to be people that give of ourselves. If we realize and take into account that we house, by the grace of God, not our doing, we house a great treasure in an earthen vessel, and that's the Holy Spirit. And that's our salvation. And so we ought to walk around every day, like we have a priceless gift that's been given to us. You can't put a price on it. Worth more than anything this world can offer to us. So we ought to walk, Lord, that I might walk in your Spirit, and that I might be mindful and careful about the gift that you've given to me to walk in your grace. And so what happens is, when I'm in the Spirit of God, I put others first. And I think about what they're, you know, and I put myself out, right? I'm a servant. Remember what the Lord said? If you're bid to carry somebody's coat for a mile, how many miles should you go? 2 miles, right? And so why? Why is that? Because of the love of God. We've been made different. We've been created brand new. And the world says, well, wait a minute. I mean, I only asked you to do that for 1 mile. You're still with me. What's different about you? Listen, we've just been given an unbelievable, unkind task to do, and you seem to have a song in your heart and a skip in your step. And why? See, because if we're not careful, we miss the work of the Spirit to be the testimony of Christ. Because if we're not careful, we just begin to look at what I have to do and what people should be doing or people should not be doing, instead of allowing the love of God. How many people do not know that the human nature is wicked? Even the world knows that. Even the world knows that. We don't need to know about the wickedness of people. What we need to see is the grace of God. And that's what the world needs to see. They know that. They know that. Hey, listen, you know what? When your name is brought up, yeah, they're a believer. And you know what? I like being around them. You know why? Because they just make me happy. They are positive people. And isn't that what God wants us to be? Paul, when he was in prison, wrongfully so, was writing epistles to the other believers to encourage them in the faith about their struggles, and he was not in a very pleasant situation. All right, very quickly here, let's look at triumph in Christ. Look at chapter 2, look at verse 14. Now thanks be to God. I like this. Now thanks be to God, which sometimes causes us to triumph. Always. Yeah, always. That's important. Who causes us to triumph? How often? So if we fail, could it possibly be that we've got out in front of God? Could that possibly be the situation? Now thanks be to God, which always causeth us to triumph, where? In Christ. That's so important. Don't do it in your strength. Don't do it because you love God. You have to do it because God is doing it through you. And listen, That is probably the key ingredient that is missed and misunderstood. And I'll be quite honest with you, I am still, it's not just a one-time definition, it's a daily definition that God, Lord, tell me more about you in me. Lord, tell me more about how your grace is to work in me and how you're going to shine your light and how you're going to give me your victory in my life. That's an important, and listen, that's where the excitement's at. Because we'll see that, yes, God does work. He does work. And so he says, maketh, in fact, again, verse 14, now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest, reveals the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. In every place. At home, in the workplace, in commerce as we do business. In all those areas, in every place. And so, verse 15, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are a savor of death unto death, and to the other a savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Not a single one of us. But, notice verse 17, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in what? In where? How? In Christ. It's in Christ. If anything, Lord, help me to understand what this means, you in me, and for me to be in Christ. Help me to be, listen, if anything, if you learn anything tonight, or if you understand anything tonight, the key and the passage to victory is in Christ, always. It will always be in Christ. It will never be in our own strength. If we are failing, and don't get mad with yourself, just God, help me to understand what it means to be in Christ. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about the life of Christ. If you have the Son of God, you have life. And if you don't have the Son of God, you don't have life. So, Lord, you've given me life. Help me to understand what this means. So here's what we think sometimes. You know, we want something to take place. And I'm not saying God doesn't want to do things for us that benefit us. But that seems to be the marker that everybody uses of the blessings of God. You know, the Lord did this for me. The Lord did that for me. And he does. He does things for us. But how about to experience the grace of God to where the fruit of the Spirit is being manifested in and through our lives, listen to people who don't deserve it. Because the scriptures tell us it's the lost world is kind to those who are kind to them. But oh, be kind to those who are not kind. That's grace. You've heard this, right? To err is human. This is a true statement. But to forgive is what? It's of God. To err is human. Everybody makes mistakes. Oh, but listen, to forgive is divine. It's coming from the Lord. You're going to give. Really, is there anything special in any human being? Paul was a pretty special person, mightily used of the Lord. He was a murderer of Christians. And Paul would tell you, I am the least of all. But why was he so mightily used? Because he understood what it meant, and he's sharing with us. It's not something that's not tangible for you and I. It's just us saying, God, show me what it means to be in Christ. And that this way, God can write his story in our lives. And then the last thought here, our sufficiency is of God. And again, our triumph is in Christ, and our sufficiency is of God. Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. Do we begin to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Do we need you to write us a letter of, hey, listen, you know, accept this person, and I think highly of this person? No, we don't need those kind of letters. And notice what he says. Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared And they're not declaring it themselves, but you are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Listen to this. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. We're convinced that you are the epistles of Christ. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think, verse 5, to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of who? Of God. Now, I want to remind you of something here, and we're going to close. Their sufficiency is of the Lord. Paul is saying this. Do you know what church we're talking about? This is the Corinthian church. They had problems. They were messing up in some areas, royally messing up. And Paul had this to say about them, because Paul was seeing them in Christ. When God looks at you and I, he sees Christ, the blood of Christ. When God looks at all believers, he sees the blood of Christ. Amen? Even those who are failing, will they? And listen, believers in the Lord that have been blood bought and blood washed, will they enter into eternal life? Why? They've been blood bought. And when God looks at them, does he see their sin, or does he see the righteousness of the blood of Christ? How should we see other believers? But we can become critical. Guilty. I'll just tell you, guilty. All right? Don't think it's just, it's everybody's been guilty of that to one degree or another. And they're a Christian. Well, let that come out of the mouths of the world. But may we realize our weaknesses and where our strength comes from. We shouldn't get mad. Listen, we shouldn't allow anger to creep up. And I can't say we shouldn't allow it. But if we're in Christ, we'll have love for that person, because we'll know, but for the grace of God, that's me. Not that could be me. No, that's me. I will do that. And what do I do? What shall I do? Listen, when I mess up, I can beat myself up, or I can stop and say, I've stepped out in front of the Lord. And I need to let him go out in front, because I'll mess up things and I'll go the wrong way. Oh, listen, every day we get up, Lord, I need you to go out in front of me. Lord, I carry a great treasure in a vessel of earthen clay. Thank you, God. You gave me that. May you be pleased to guide my life today, that the world might see your epistle written in my life. Amen? Wherever life takes you, faithfully serving, wandered out of the way, our life is still in Christ. And where are his arms when we turn back to him? God, I'm coming back. His arms are open. May I share something, just a quick thought? Maybe I'll preach on this. Not tonight, though. The prodigal son, you remember the story there, Luke? The prodigal son? What do most people think about when we think about the prodigal son? Oh, man, he's made a miserable life. He's made a shipwreck. Look at what's happened in his life. We forget about somebody else. Who? The father. He lost the son. And how happy was he when the son came back? He celebrated, didn't he? Amen? And so oftentimes, we don't realize what we do or can do to the Father when we drift away. Because the Father wants us right by him, with him. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, for the understanding that you bring to our hearts and minds. Lord, we ask your blessing on the rest of the time together as we break off for prayer. May you be honored and glorified to empower our lives to glorify your name, that we might experience your great work in our lives. Bless the rest of the time, and we'll give you all the praise and the rest of the week. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.